Welcome to Shaken and Stirred, a James Bond rewatch podcast for diehard 00s and franchise first-timers alike. My name is Evan Atkinson, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Alex Doherty.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. This is a little different. Normally, we would just kind of drop into watching the movie, but we went to dinner today.
Yeah.
This was nice.
Mm-hmm. Reestablished ourselves.
Listen, and we're friends, right? Mm-hmm. You could say that?
Yeah, one could say. I know you.
I know you. We're more than just, we just show up. You are the best man at my wedding.
Started this living with you.
It's true. So I think it's important that we keep up our friendship outside of just this very transactional. I show up, we watch a James Bond movie, we leave.
We leave.
You know, it's important. And also, I decided to do this for this movie, Quantum of Solace, mm-hmm. because there's something special about this movie.
Ooh.
It is the shortest Bond movie.
Hey, wow, wait, it's under 2 hours.
I was like, we can go, we can do whatever the hell we want.
Literally.
And then come back mm-hmm. and crank through this. It's 1 hour 46 minutes.
How did I manage to fall asleep through it the last time I watched it?
You fall asleep through a lot of shorter things.
The bar? No. Sometimes you gotta nap.
This is the shortest one, second shortest one. Do you have an idea?
So I'm gonna go for my instincts.
Yeah.
And my instincts are just if I remember it. And I'm gonna be honest, I don't remember the beginning. I do think we're gonna end up in a desert underground.
Okay.
I think we're going to get there because of blood diamonds.
Mm.
And we're going to get 7 modes of transportation.
Okay. Wow. Straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
I was asking if you could guess what the second shortest Bond movie is. I'll tell you that right now. It's Goldfinger. Goldfinger is 1 hour 50 minutes. But okay, so you think we're gonna end up in a desert. I know pretty much every beat of this movie. Oh, so yeah. I'm not gonna guess it, but I will say this movie of most of them gets a lot of hate.
Oh.
Of the Daniel Craig James Bond movies. It's most people like, what were they doing with this one? This is kind of behind Skyfall, like sneakily my favorite.
Interesting.
And that's, we talked about this last time about like, this was the first movie that I remember like anticipating. And I was like following whenever they were dropping a new trailer
yeah.
and whenever like they released the song, which is one of my favorite James Bond songs. And mm-hmm. so like, I have a soft spot for this movie in 2008. I was 11.
Okay. I remember this then.
Too. So this is like, yeah, I was of an age where I could do this.
Mm-hmm. Your brain could handle
my
it.
My brain could handle
just
it.
Scared.
I'm curious to see if this movie is aged as well as I think it has.
Yeah, the last one surprised me in terms of not being as strong as I was expecting, even though I did have such a good time.
We never asked this. Are you excited for this one? Because I'm excited for this one.
I'm excited. Lea Seydoux is not in this.
She's not. She shows up.
Next movie.
Spectre, I think.
I thought
she's just Spectre in No Time to Die. Is she also in Skyfall?
What blonde is in this movie? Is it a different blonde?
It's not a, oh, you know what? It's a redhead in the beginning, and they do a Goldfinger.
Okay.
They do a Goldfinger, like, subversion. And then, I don't want to give too much away, because you don't remember the beginning of this.
No.
But the main Bond girl is Cuban, I think.
Okay, I might be thinking about Sky. I feel like every time we talk about these movies, I'm just thinking about the movie after it.
Well, what do you think happens in Skyfall?
So that's the where he goes like to like an old home.
Yes, that is Skyfall.
And
it's Home Alone with James Bond.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Nice.
Okay. Yeah, you got that. All right. Yeah. Well, hey, we're not watching that. We're watching Quantum of Solace, the most annoyingly named James Bond movie, but I think it's my favorite. So let's find out if that still holds true when we come back a little bit more shaken and a little bit more stirred to talk all about it. We just watched the brisk 1 hour 46 minutes
wow.
of Quantum of Solace.
Can't wait for it. We had dinner and it's not even done right now.
No, it's honestly thrilling. James Bond aside, I have a new theory that I'd like to propose.
Yes.
No movie should be allowed to be longer than 2 hours, except and if it's made by James Cameron.
I'm going to say,
has there been a movie that is longer than longer than 2 hours 15? Has there been a movie that's longer than 2 hours, 15 minutes that's really earned all of that time?
That's a question, and I'm gonna be quite honest.
I'm good. This is okay. Pulp Fiction. Fine. No, actually, no. Pulp Fiction's fine. Shawshank, fine.
That could be shorter. Clockwork Orange, bad. Fight Club could be shorter. Forrest Gump, bad.
Bad.
Like, Catch Me If You Can. Yeah, like, Gone with the Wind, like, could be shorter.
The Hunger Games?
The Woman King, I think, was a great. It was really long.
I haven't seen it
yet.
It was
a good movie.
I do want to see it. I've heard it's good.
Lord of the Rings, I'm going to be honest. I feel like I need to rewatch it, not as a kid, because I will vote currently as could be shorter.
Nope. Okay. I take that back. Peter Jackson also gets a pass after having seen the 4-hour extended version of Return of the King. It rules.
The Titanic was great.
Like, none of these movies I'm seeing need to be. My Fair Lady is longer than 2 hours.
Interstellar is a great length. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, you could just not even have.
You could trim some of it. You could trim.
See, Les Mis makes sense.
The Revenant.
You're singing.
The Revenant cut out the scene where he drinks water and some of the water falls out his neck hole.
No, that was pretty fucking epic.
That's what won Leo the Oscar.
Yeah. Gone Girl.
This is a weird list. Movie. I've never heard of The Nun's Story. The Pianist cut out the Holocaust part. It's like
you could cut out some part.
The Dark Knight.
I don't remember which one that one is.
That's the one with Heath Ledger. That's the good one.
There's probably still some time you take out.
You could trim some. West Side Story, make them kiss immediately. Like, here's the thing. Quantum of Solace is 1 hour and 46 minutes, and I am going to come right out and say that this is the best James Bond movie of all time.
Whoa.
Straight up.
I'm going to be honest. I had a really good time.
All killer, no filler.
Yeah. I would say the only negatives would be maybe the plot could be less convoluted, but also it's a James Bond movie, and that's what we live and breathe off of. But they move so fast. It's lovely.
Speaking of the plot, mm-hmm. Let's see how convoluted it is.
Mm-hmm.
At its most basic level, I'm going to speed run this.
Do it.
Okay. This movie is, I think, for the first time in the James Bond franchise, is an immediate continuation.
Mm-hmm.
From a previous film.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they're just like, it's another adventure in James Bond's life. This is like what happened at the end of Casino Royale. This is maybe an hour after that.
Yep.
He is transporting Mr. White, the man who he shot at the end of Casino Royale, to Siena, Italy, to be interrogated by M. I don't know why M is in Siena underneath a horse racing track, but
she's got to be anonymous.
You know, they got to be in cool places.
Mm-hmm.
They find out Mr. White represents this criminal secret organization called Quantum. Quantum is essentially a stand-in for Spectre. It's weird that they don't call it Spectre. I think there's some legal stuff with that, though. That's why that guy sued Thunderball. Because
so how do they get the Spectre rights?
I think that guy died.
That'll do
I
it.
I really think that's what happened. Because okay. Spectre shows up at the end of the next movie, I think.
Wait, epic.
And they just kind of ditched Quantum as an idea entirely.
Okay, I'm excited to see how they explain that.
So Mr. White is a representative of Quantum, and James Bond is trying to track down Quantum, finds the current plot of this criminal organization is being spearheaded by this kind of Elon Musk-y guy, mm-hmm. Dominic Green. He's a tech CEO that is a philanthropist. He's into green energy and stuff. His last name's Green. It's just, it's really on the net. It's mm-hmm. James Bond, pussy mm-hmm. galore, you yep. know?
I mean, we have a character named Strawberry Fields as well.
That's true. She never says her first name
nope.
on purpose. and he's essentially going around to all these countries and buying up what they believe is useless land, but secretly is where all of their underground water resources are, and he's creating a monopoly on water in all of these countries so he can charge them double for their utilities.
Yep, that's a James Bond-ass plot.
That's the plot. And then he foils Dominic Green's plans in the most simple way. I think I know what you mean when you say it's convoluted in that, like, if you didn't see Casino Royale, you might be a little confused. Like,
mm-hmm. You just have a man in your, like, James in the Bond's trunk.
And you're like, who is this? And we saw Casino Royale, like, last week.
Yep.
And I was still like, oh, that's the guy. And you're like, oh, yeah. like this, and truly a lot of stuff clicked about this movie for me on this watch of it, specifically the part at the end where I was like, every time I watched it, I was like, who is that guy? It's Vesper's boyfriend.
Yep.
And I finally like figured that I'd never clocked that before.
Yeah. It's like they remind you in the beginning that he's got trauma about the last movie. And in the middle, they bring it up again. And in the end, it has to end with that.
But like, if you hadn't seen Casino Royale, that ending piece would make no sense
to
you.
They don't ever actually tell you who's involved in anything at all. Like, we just have to remember the necklace.
Yeah.
And he doesn't actually verbalize and say that it used to be Vesper's. Like, you just got to know it.
Which is like, I'm sure that's why people, because like I said in the opening, people had an issue with this movie. That is my best guess at why, is like, if you just watch this movie alone.
Which you should be able to, hypothetically.
I think it still kicks ass, but there are going to be parts that you're like, wait, what? Who's this guy? What is happening?
Mm-hmm.
But like.
Yeah, because you do have Mathis. And
Mathis shows up and you're like, who's he?
Mm-hmm.
I'm worked up.
Because you're so excited.
This movie rules.
It was a lot of fun.
Let's talk about the opening. We open with like this 6 minute straight car chase on a coastal highway through Italy.
Yep.
Shaky cam.
Lots of AKs coming out the window.
Bond is in a black Aston Martin Vantage. He's being chased by these kind of nameless goons in Alfa Romeos,
all different cars.
And you said that both the Bourne Identity and Supremacy had come out before the Craig James Bonds, and I feel like that tracks a lot in
definitely. A lot of, ever since we enter the 2000s, even with Pierce Brosnan, we're getting in heavy into car action. It's like someone really kind of, I don't know, we've had like a car chase scenes a lot more involved, I feel like, these days.
A little someone named Vincent Diesel.
And his
friend Paul Walker.
Yep.
From the 2001 film The Fast and the Furious.
Yep.
Not to be confused with the 2010 film Fast and Furious. Golly.
Works of art.
It's amazing. But that's the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Car chase, incredible. Next set piece, this movie is thrilling to me because they pause for like maybe 5 minutes of dialogue before the next like big, either like beautiful artsy set piece or like action set piece they hit.
Yeah.
So it's like car chase, 5 minutes of, hey, this is Mr. White from the last movie and we're interrogating you. You represent Quantum, which has people everywhere. M's bodyguard turns on her. It's this big dramatic scene.
Double agent.
Immediate foot chase through the rooftops of Siena.
Scaffolding fight, and then immediately cooled off again.
It's cooled off. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of dialogue. We go to a map room.
Pretty epic.
Thrillingly. Mm-hmm. You called this out.
They can walk into a room and there's just a big old table. That's it. And turns out that table turns on.
we thought we left this behind in the 60s of a room built around a map. But thank you, Quantum of Solace, for bringing it back to this is just the map room.
This is what a touchscreen would be used for.
It's just maps. It's a whole blank holodeck.
I wrote after that scene, I love M freaking out and making jokes.
Oh, she's great. Mm-hmm. Judi Dench, once again, shining light of this movie.
100%.
An icon.
I forget how much they up M content when Judi Dench is introduced into the movie. Like, I feel like checks in hell of a lot more in, like, Daniel Craig movies than in, like, previous. Like, we saw M twice in movie with, like, Sean Connery.
You see M at the beginning with, you really need to investigate these drug smugglers, 007.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end with, oh, are you fucking again on a boat?
Like, every time.
Those are the two checkpoints. Mm-hmm. I agree. This is like, he has a like
mother
complicated
relationship.
It's this weird, mommy baggage.
Mm-hmm.
And they mention it in the film, the Camille, who's the Bond girl of the movie.
Yep.
Although they do not have sex.
No, she's just a very cool spy.
Capable.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good job. Olga Kurylenko, actress. But she is like, why are you so interested in Dominique Green? Did he hurt your girlfriend? And he's like, no, a different woman. And she's like, your mother? And he's like, she likes to think she is. Amazing.
Epic. And he's just entirely motivated because he just wants to catch the person that hurt him.
Yeah, that's kind of the thrust of it. Like, mm-hmm. The entry point is he has tracked down the person responsible for Vesper's death outside of herself.
Yep.
To Mr. White. Mr. White then opens it. You were spot on when we're watching this of saying like this is a return to old Bond and that he's fully stumbling his way into this.
100% he gets lucky.
Like he found the right thread to pull, mm-hmm. but then everything at like the sequence, what the guy turns on them, mm-hmm. Mitchell, the mm-hmm. bodyguard, and they're like, well, we trusted this guy. M's like, he's worked for me for 8 years. For five of those, he's my personal bodyguard. Like, this is crazy. Why is he a villain? And then they track the money that he was paid with to Haiti. And
I forgot that's how we got there.
Some other guy had got paid with the same, like, serial numbers of bills in Haiti.
Yeah.
Using our cool map room.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bond's,
only way to analyze money on map.
Oh, my God. The touch screens. That's also a big shining light for me in this movie is him.
100%.
Is the how cool the touch screens look.
But not on phone.
And how, oh my God, how funny it was when they cut back to James Bond with just like a flip phone.
Yup.
And he's like,
could not imagine that being in your pocket.
Let me access the crazy touchscreen database from my BlackBerry. They go to Haiti and they're, James Bond is like, let me find this guy that also got paid. Breaks into his hotel room. That guy is there. Kind of looks a little bit like James Bond.
Yeah.
Or Daniel Craig. Gets into a knife fight. Jimmy wins, obviously.
Naturally.
And then
just turns into him.
Just becomes him.
Yeah.
Goes to the concierge desk and is like, hey, were there any messages for me? And they're like, no, just the briefcase from earlier. And he goes, oh, right. I'll take the briefcase then. Walks out of the hotel. A car pulls up with a beautiful woman. She's like, get in. I'm here to pick you up, briefcase guy. And he's like,
naturally.
Of course. Yes. It just fully trips his way through this.
Mm-hmm. Steals her ID. Then he's like, I'm going to join up with the other guy who thinks I'm with him.
Yep. Someone is trying
to. A full assassin that thinks they're working together to assassinate that woman.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, I'm going to steal your bike. Drive away.
He steals the bike by revving the engine and kick flipping it
mm-hmm.
out from under the guy, which is very good.
Mm-hmm. And just to continue to follow Camille.
It feels very spy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's this is an interesting take because mm-hmm. I feel like this is a little bit of a.
This highlights.
No, this is my thesis.
Okay.
Of like how Timothy Dalton.
Yes.
Movies I thought were incredible because they're just a really good 80s, 90s action movie.
Definitely.
That
we had gore.
That sometimes got enhanced by, but more often got bogged down by the fact that it was also had to be a James Bond movie.
For sure.
Quantum of Solace mm-hmm. is an incredible gritty spy movie that I think is enhanced by sneaking little James Bond stuff in there.
Yeah.
Like there's no gadgets.
No, it's just kind of like natural spy things.
But it felt very, very spy,
mm-hmm.
more so than some of the other ones. And the James Bond stuff was injected by Daniel Craig just being suave as hell.
It was like a Sean Connery kind of Bond, you know, less gadgets, more kind of like, or at least later Sean
yeah.
Connery, where you just kind of forget about Q for like a few movies.
Yeah.
It's like, felt like it fell straightly into that. Great fits, suave
really
vibes.
It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought like the villain plot was like, felt pretty current, like
yep.
it was updated of like he's not after gold or destroying the world, he wants water.
Yeah,
people are running out of water,
but he's offering oil, and it's like all the governments are bad a little bit in this one, which is fun.
Oh my.
But it's just like M and James against the world. That's it should be.
It was, yeah, they have what
we haven't even talked about the CIA.
Wait, talk to me about M and Bond's dynamic a little bit, because you said something about that.
Did I?
You said they were really messy, and I want to know more about that.
They were. I just felt like the towards the end, they were especially just constantly, first of all, hanging out. She was just following him around town to try to figure out where he was. Anytime he had code for something, she's like, he's out there killing a man again.
Oh, that was the he's on the phone with like his MI6 handler. And the guy's like, what happened to that guy in Haiti? And he goes, he was a dead end. And he goes, oh, M, Bond just said he's a dead end. And she goes, damn it, that means he killed him. And I'm like, she knows. They've been through this.
In the end, they're just like exclusively talking about like his love life and the fact that he's just like a mess about it. In the beginning, he takes a shot as soon as he sees her and then goes to interrogate someone. And in between that, he's like, what? Do you think I'm not having a good time? They're just a mess.
There's a big theme in this movie of James Bond, instead of interrogating somebody, just immediately murdering them.
Mm-hmm. I think you're going to say James being a drunk.
A little bit that, too. He does drink, and I did the math, 24 shots of alcohol.
On one plane ride.
On a plane ride from...
Not even the full plane ride. No. He, like, sleeps after that.
From Italy to Bolivia, which...
It's pretty long.
What are we, 10 hours?
In 2006, probably. Well, it's a private jet, so I'd give it like a 7.
No, that wasn't a private jet.
Yeah, it was.
That was a Virgin Atlantic flight.
Mathis... But only with them.
No.
They had the whole first class.
I want to look at that again. I think everyone was just asleep. Mathis wakes up, walks back to the bar that's also on the plane.
There's no way that they would allow them to be on a public flight like that, talking that openly, just drinking.
That's why I was so fascinated by this. The bar on that plane is because it looks like it's a jumbo jet that just has a bar on it. There is a Virgin Atlantic sign on it.
Well, for sure. I just figured they bought out the whole Virgin Atlantic flight.
I don't know if there's other people on that plane.
Yeah.
But, okay, we can both agree. There is, according to this movie, there is a Virgin Atlantic passenger jet that has a just walk-up bar on it.
With a man that apparently could be a bartender.
A bartender who's, according to this movie, 24/7 bartender. It is like, whatever, 3 a.m., everybody's asleep, and Bond's like, I'll have my sixth martini.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Bananas. Let's talk about highlights and lowlights.
Okay. Highlights for me, immediately, the camera shots in this one.
Oh.
We were a big, big fan. It felt like it was a lot of, wait, what did you call it?
Establishing shots.
Like every time like James was entering an area, you got a full, like, all different angles of where he was approaching, and then him again, and then just a different view on like a various area that he was in. And I just felt like he got so much context and so many, I don't know, it felt like an old spy movie in those shots as well, but prettier. I got A24-y at one point, I felt.
Yeah, it had a good sense of place, I think, of like everywhere we were, unlike, I think like some of the other movies get a little cartoonish and you're like, whatever, this was like, you understand that there are people working at the bar that James has just walked into. You understand that this is an actual stage production, that he's going backstage of, like, it gives you a good, I don't know, feeling. The A24.
They're actual sequences, you know?
Yeah. It felt very real and not just like, let's follow our superhero James Bond. It's like, well, he's doing this in a public place. Like, let's figure that out.
Mm-hmm. People will be freaking out before and after.
One of my highlights is that orchestra scene.
Yeah.
About the midpoint of the movie where James Bond finds out what quantum is.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to Austria. He follows Dominic Green to Austria. And there's like this big, super elaborate, like, opera stage production. And there's a huge, like, eyeball on this stage, and all of the people in Quantum have earpieces so they can talk to one another.
And they're all, like, throughout the audience in random places, and it's all, like, very unique on how they're speaking.
Oh, it's so cool.
It's sick.
They're, like, they're doing some secret organization Illuminati shit of, like,
literally
move move some funds from our Swedish account to pay for the coup in Bolivia. James Bond has gotten an earpiece. He's watching from behind the stage, and he goes like, he gets on the mic. He just blows his cover immediately to do some James Bond shit. Literally,
he speaks as loudly as possible so he can blow everyone's earpieces out, which I think is really fun because it just means he goes, "Hey, guys." And everyone's just like, "What the fuck? What the?
You should find a better place to meet." Which is very Jason Bourne saying, "You look tired today, Pam. You should get some rest."
1,000%. And he just takes out his little phone and takes pictures of everybody who's reacting in the audience. Which is beautiful.
Rookie move on their part.
Yeah, the only smart one is Mr. White standing behind. What I do like that they did for him to get that man's earpiece and everything, he beat up some random guy that he noticed got the bag that had the earpieces, but specifically they got this guy that was really jacked that kind of looked like James Bond.
Yep.
And then he was like, "Where's my suit?" And then there's James wearing it. And I think that's a nice little thing that they try to equal there.
Oh, okay.
Like only a ripped man only could get his suit.
This tailored tuxedo that he was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the A24 bit that you mentioned is at the end of that sequence, they're like cross-cutting between the crescendo of the opera and James like having a run and gunfight through the, and it's like
the opera's having a gunfight and he's having a gunfight,
rapid cutting, but the only audio you get is from the opera and it goes silent on all the gunshots on James's side, which is, they do that twice, they do like they fade out the audio on the action, and it was so sick.
Definitely, especially because he's like apparently unraveling, and then he ends the whole thing like holding a man's body over a roof and his like arms are splayed, and it's just like that, like the finale. Oh. And it's just like holding a bodyguard over a roof and he drops him,
finds out that guy was British Secret Service. Yes. Which is not good. And
but
so
he's not the one that gave the final shot.
It's true. There's two times that this happens in this movie where James did. Oh, no, he didn't kill him because he got off the roof of the... Okay.
He threw him off a building, but he didn't shoot him.
He didn't kill him.
He did shoot him, but he didn't shoot him enough to kill him.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like... James could have like solved a little bit of the plot by saying like, "I didn't shoot." They were like, he was found thrown off a building with bullet holes. And he's like, "I didn't shoot him." At the end of the movie, they're like, Dominic Green was found with two bullets in the back of his head in the desert. He had ingested motor oil, and he's like, "I only gave him the motor oil."
But he just doesn't say anything. Same with Mathis. They were like, "Oh yeah, he shot him after like some cops found him." But it was the police that shot Mathis.
There's three separate times where James Bond is like, "I'm not interested in covering for myself. I just need to keep moving."
Yep. He's like, "I will prove myself and my worth."
Yeah. we'll talk at the end of this. Mm-hmm. I just need to finish this bit.
Let me do my job, sir.
Another shining light for me. What's one of yours? I did one of mine.
Mine was Felix.
Tell me more.
When we first see him, he's on a private jet wearing a seatbelt. I feel like that's very important.
I don't think the private jet's in the air either. Mm. Wasn't it just on the tarmac?
Nobody else's. He is fully strapped in, not having a good time with any of the politics happening.
No.
And he has a great tete-for-tete with James Bond about how shitty each other's governments are. And I think that's really fun.
Felix in this movie is notoriously a bad hang at parties.
Mm-hmm.
Just so
he
bummed
hates
out.
Being where he is.
He, in Casino Royale, he's bummed out at the poker table.
He's bad at gambling. Who gave him that assignment?
He's bummed out at this party, this like eco fundraiser that he's at in Bolivia.
Because Mr. Beam is like sketchy.
Oh, yeah. His boss, his CIA boss, played by David Harbour, is just like, "Come on, man. We want to get their oil. We don't care about anything else." And he's like, "But I think James Bond's going to fix it." I really think he's going to do it. I loved how, and this is kind of segueing into our like Bond moments, I guess. We'll get to lowlights in a second. Is like, I think this had, we talked about the map room.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about him just getting himself into traps and stumbling his way into solving it.
Sick cars.
But like, this movie kind of had a lair. at the end, this hotel that they're at.
Yeah, definitely.
Feels like a lair in the middle of the desert, but it's not like a supervillain castle lair.
But
like,
he's still fighting against a group and wearing a matching outfit.
Like, so much of this was thrilling in that it was just like twists on the old James Bond formula. God, I just loved it.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was a good time. We had a very scary death of a Bond girl in this movie, and like that was pretty fun. The only lady that he does actually successfully sleep with is Strawberry Fields. Very, very hot scene. He goes, "Do you want to go to a party with me?" And it's like, we were both dying.
I would love to go to a party with you.
Anything, sir. But she ends up on his bed covered and drowned in oil.
Do you know how he starts that interaction with her, though? How he hooks up with her?
I can't find this.
They walk into their hotel. Well, okay. So it starts. He arrives in Bolivia. This agent meets him, Agent Fields, Strawberry Fields, but she never says her first name because good.
As you should.
As you should if your name is Strawberry Fields. She picks him up and she's like, "All right, we're teachers on sabbatical. That's our cover." She takes him to this like busted ass hotel because they're teachers on sabbatical.
On sabbatical.
That's all they can afford. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Well, this simply won't do." Mm-hmm. Takes her to like the Ritz-Carlton.
The nicest hotel we've ever been to.
Nicer than any of the previous movies. And
all very Goldfinger-y.
She's like, "We can't do this. We can't go to this nice hotel." He walks up to the desk and in Spanish, she goes, "We're teachers on sabbatical. And we just won the lottery." And she just gives him a little smile. And then they go to this fancy ass hotel room. He's walking through one of the 7 rooms that is attached to this thing. And he goes, he kind of laughs when he says it, too. He just goes,
"He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, I can't seem to find the stationery." And she goes, "Oh, I'll help you look for it." He takes his jacket off.
Well, she also laughs at him and goes, "Oh, yeah." But then also it was like, yeah, I'll be finding it.
But like, my question is, wouldn't you?
1,000%.
Yeah.
Like, they were apparently, the car ride from Hotel 1 to Hotel 2 had a lot of tension.
"Do you want to go to a party? I have nothing to wear. I have something for you." Of course he has a tailor in Belize. It's fucking madman.
Well, Vesper showed him the way with a nice tailored outfit.
That's interesting. That's true.
Another highlight that I also want to give to Camille in her final scenes, our second James Bond girl. She wore a pretty sick outfit and did some sick flips. And I like that.
A sick outfit that is like a useful outfit. Mm-hmm. Like cargo pants and a t-shirt and a button down.
Mm-hmm. Great for the outdoors.
She's super capable.
Mm-hmm. And in the end, they did establish that she would be helping get water returned back where she's from.
Good.
Which I feel like was a good follow-up.
Yeah, she doesn't die. She's like one of the 3 Bond girls that doesn't die at the end of the movie. Doesn't sleep with him, doesn't die. I truly don't have a love for this.
What?
Some of the CGI is a little rough.
Yeah, I would say the whole plane getting destroyed, they were losing me in the plane fighting scene. I know you were feeling it.
No, that's interesting. I kind of got lost in the plane scene too.
It seemed like they were showing off like the ability to do smoke or something, like the CGI capabilities, but it just wasn't for me. They did have them slam onto the ground pretty hard, but I feel like they would have been dead. You know, they just lost me a little bit there.
Yeah, I agree.
And they landed in the perfect cave.
Yeah, they got lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's James Bond. He always gets lucky.
It is James Bond. It is.
Something about this movie reminded me of I didn't watch the Harry Potter movies growing up. I watched them all in like a marathon when I was in college. And I was old enough to understand differences in filmmaking, I guess. Or I wasn't growing up with these movies. But like the first couple Harry Potter movies, they're kids' movies, which is great. They function great as kids' movies. And then you get to like the 4th one, maybe, and it's shot by Alphonse Cuarón, like the guy who did The Revenant, crazy ass director does it, or maybe it's Iñárritu. One of the Mexican directors, like Oscar guys of the recent years. And all the shots are insane. And you're like, what movie am I watching? And then it's like,
people die.
And then it cuts to like Harry Potter and you're like, this fucking.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of how I felt about this movie of like they were shooting this differently.
Definitely.
It's kind of like that one. I think it was a Roger Moore one that goes to Egypt where they did all those beautiful shots of like playing with his shadow.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff. And we were like, who did this?
Yeah. Who? Like the camera was so high, so low. Everyone was like pretty and then like really close. Definitely.
There was something about this that I was like, there something is very obviously different.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thrilled by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when they it's a terrible movie, but Eternals.
I never watched it.
Don't. But there's some dope shots in that movie because mm-hmm. it's Chloe Zhao. And like that's what it feels like, is like this. We all kind of understand the character, but then they're like, let's give some really weird artsy person the helm.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
I don't think that's who this director is.
Oh.
Forrester is.
He said he didn't do anything.
He did. Well, he did stuff, but nothing like an action movie or anything. He did World War Z, A Man Called Otto recently, Christopher Robin, Kite Runner, maybe, Stranger Than Fiction. What is this fool?
Sure.
What has this fool done? Stranger Than Fiction or Monsters Ball would have been the things that they would have picked him for.
Damn.
But like, weird. Yeah, weird whoever pick that is. Mm-hmm. For them. But I think he crushed it.
Definitely. Wait, is this your low light?
No, I'm just talking. I think no, this is not a low light. I don't have a low light. The only low light is like some of the CGI didn't hold up, but like they did their best.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to give a low light to the Vesper storyline. Sorry, I'm just going to have to bring it up.
You're a big Vesper hater.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, but at the end of it, they just entirely dedicated to her. Is the little necklace, they like show it tarnishing to gold, like it just being all fake, and it's all like low-key about him processing it. And I'm just going to be really pissed if we have to deal with that in any movie moving forward, and I'm establishing that here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, you might be bummed out in the future, I guess. I don't think she's mentioned until No Time to Die, which is tricky.
Okay, I'll take that.
What'd you think about the song, the title sequence?
I thought that was fun. I don't usually like the ones that aren't like soul-y.
Shirley Bassey
pretty much
James Bond.
But this was like a good combo of, you know, having guitars and still being kind of sick. I hated the font, though, in the title sequence.
With like the circles?
I don't like the first part of the font was like really simple thin letters. The other part of the font was really thick blocky with like lines through it. And I just feel like it's just so 2005.
Oh, I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I said this in the opening. I love this song. Mm-hmm. I think it's amazing. I listen to it just to listen to it.
Of course. Yeah, you at one point, during the title sequence said, I wonder if this is the full version.
The extended version of the radio cut, because there is a pretty extended, like, 1 minute of scatting that they cut out, because good on them. Jack White couldn't be stopped. You know, Jack White was like, I'm going to do some of my weird stuff with this. And they said, great, we won't use that, but love that you,
but thank you.
Did it. Thank you. Thanks so much. Detroit's very own. I thought it was good. What is your character you want more of?
I'm going to have to go with Camille. I'd love to see her, you know, avenging her family. She was her storyline when she trauma dumped in a cave. She was going to be bringing all the water back and redistributing. So I'd love to get a nice film about that.
Olga Kurylenko, Hero of Bolivia.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, they really did that.
They did. They made her so tan.
Mm-hmm.
Suspicious.
Yep.
I like that. I loved Fields. I did.
She's dead.
We've done dead. No, okay.
No, you can choose her.
I like that. I kind of also would love, and I've pitched this as an idea before, but maybe. I think the Felix in these movies is great. But I like David Harbour's like kind of goofy, crooked CIA agent.
Mr. Beam.
Mr. Beam. Beam.
Yeah, that really stuck with me.
Hard M.
Yep.
Yeah, you forget every character's name, but you remember the briefly included CIA agent. I like...
Because who names a character Mr. Beam?
That's true. I want Mr. Beam.
Sure.
And I want a show about him if, like, it is a work, like, dark workplace comedy about the CIA, like, doing coups.
Mm-hmm.
And how they're like, oh, no, what did I do? I just set off another civil war. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I'd watch the hell out of that. I want to know, what's he up to? What's he doing now that he's been replaced by Felix? Certainly nothing good. I think he shows up in Skyfall.
Really?
I think he's in another one of these. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've just seen this movie more recently.
If they do, then they're really trying to carry storylines.
Yeah. Okay. What would you rate this movie? Alex, 1 through 10.
I'm going to give this movie a solid 8.5 out of 10.
8.5. And this is,
I think it's a really good Bond movie. It's a Bond movie you'd want to show somebody. It'd be kind of hard because you do have to give them the context in terms of the beginning and end. But it's not like I didn't like, you know, the third Bourne movie and I started with that movie and that has a whole lot of flashbacks I didn't understand.
And I just want to level set again. These are not compared to any other movies. This is just within the Bond franchise.
Well, yeah, if you look at my Letterboxd score, compare it to... But I think on Letterboxd, I'm still going to give us like a 3.5.
That's good.
4? No, 3.5.
Yeah, all right. Keep your standards. In the context of the Bond franchise...
Well, of course.
I am giving Quantum of Solace a 9.
Not a 10?
7.5.
Just give it a 10.
I'm going to give it a 10. Because I can't, if I'm really thinking critically, I don't think there's a Bond movie that beats this. Skyfall might tie it.
Mm-hmm.
But like.
No, it's really good.
It is just everything I want out of a Bond movie from start to finish. Beautiful, exotic set things, good quips, great action, interesting characters, a villain that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's. And it ties so perfectly to everything is hitting on all cylinders for me.
I'll take that.
It's amazing. This is my first.
I love that.
Probably only 10.
Wow.
But this is the ceiling for me. Wow. Is this movie.
Well, I'm sorry that you're going to have such a bad time for the rest of this. It only goes down from here.
I don't know. I cried watching No Time to Die.
That means I'm definitely going to cry.
We'll see. I was on an airplane, which affects your tears a little bit. And also Skyfall is commonly considered the best one. This one's commonly considered the worst. So, you know, my taste might be all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, if there's something I know about you.
It's
wild taste.
bad taste. Y'all, thank you for listening to another episode of Shagan and Sturge.
Do we normally say that now?
Oh, never mind. You're welcome for us giving you another episode of Shagan and Sturge.
No, I love you talking to the audience.
I don't know, ma'am.
No, I love it. This next time we're watching Skyfall, the song that I start recognizing this one. This one I have a distinct memory watching in theaters too.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. What I talked about in Casino Royale as being what happens in this movie did not happen. And I am for sure thinking of Skyfall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Skyfall's the big one.
Yeah. It turns out all movies have Skyfall.
Well, I'm excited to see the urtext to the James Bond franchise for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big deal. Join us next time. We're watching Skyfall 2012. The world didn't end, but the sky might fall.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. That's all we have for you this week. We'll see you next week.
Kisses.
Kisses.